Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for August the 20th, 2018. This is David Corey, along with my co-host Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us this evening. Hello, Richard.
Hey there, David, and good evening, everyone. Tonight we have two major segments in the show. First, we will hear from four veterans who had great difficulties making the transition from military service to civilian life and how the VA was able to help them. Then in the second segment, we will have news of interest to veterans. But first, I'd like to acknowledge two new sponsors to our show, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli from Spring Hill, Florida, whose recent financial contribution helps us provide this weekly show for the benefit of veterans and their families across the country. Thank you, Joyce and Joe, if you're listening. We really appreciate your support. I also wish to remind everyone that this is a call-in show that welcomes your views, comments, and questions. So you can call us at any time during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. And as I said, this is your show. We were looking for your views, your comments, and your questions. So please pick up the phone and let us know what's going on in your life. If you're a veteran, you've had some difficulties with the VA, you've had some successes with the VA, share your experiences. You know, it's helpful for David and I, but it's also helpful to other veterans around the country to hear about your situation. Again, that number is 1-888-627-6008. Now back over to you, David.
Thank you, Richard. Now for our first segment of the show tonight, we wish to highlight good work which the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has done and continues to do for so many veterans. You know, the VA takes a lot of flack, a lot of criticism, some of it justified, but people sometimes overlook all the great work that they do for America's veterans and their families. So tonight we wanted to highlight that work done by the VA, and we'll do that through the voices of four veterans who will share their personal experiences in adjusting to civilian life after military service, and specifically how the VA helped them in that journey. Now, these interviews are courtesy of, and we give credit to, the VA's Make the Connection program, which is available on YouTube, which is a very valuable resource. We found in our work and talking to so many veterans that peer support and VA help is important and assists so many veterans in adjusting to civilian life and coping with problems that they have, particularly due to combat service. So first we will hear from a veteran named Elliot, who had difficulty transitioning from active duty in the Marine Corps back to civilian life. He experienced anger and anxiety, but through counseling at his local vet center, Elliot gained tools and coping skills to improve his mental health. He then returned to school and earned an associate's degree. So we'll hear from Elliot. Doug, if you'll please roll the first tape.
My name is Elliot. I served in the Marine Corps from 2003 through 2007, and I served in Iraq. My transition into civilian life was really challenging. Before I went in, I was really calm. I was relaxed. I was the type of guy who was really level-headed. And when I came home, I wasn't the same. You know how some people, they say they have a short fuse? I almost had no fuse. If I got angry for any type of reason, I would immediately just chew somebody out as if I was a drill instructor in the Marine Corps. A lot of the relationships that I had, whether they were romantic, friends, family, were all deteriorating. Me and my older brother got into an argument, which ended up turning physical. My mom comes out from her bedroom hearing this commotion, and she freaks out, not knowing what to do, ends up calling the police. That was the point in my life where I realized I had a serious issue. They took me to the VA, and I was put on the 72-hour hold, and that's when I started getting the help that I needed. I went directly to a transitional housing facility. They had counselors, they had medication, they had resources for putting a resume together if you wanted to get back into the job force. And I felt like I was becoming a member of society again. I started college in 2010. When I was in classes, sometimes I would notice my anxiety levels would rise because of the other students in the room. Going out to, like, for instance, nightclubs if I wanted to go out with friends, crowded restaurants would give me really high levels of anxiety. Even being in traffic on the freeway, living in Los Angeles, I felt like somebody might be following me. And so it started to really have a negative impact on my ability to succeed in school. I dropped out in 2013. I knew I had issues. I knew I had PTSD, but I didn't know why. I mean, I knew it was related to combat, but I didn't know why I was reacting to certain stimuli the way that I was. So I went to the vet center in Corona, and I started seeing a counselor there. She basically educated me about what was happening in my brain so that I was able to understand why I was having the reactions that I was having. So now I could take steps towards actually fixing each individual symptom and recovering from each individual symptom so that I could learn to manage them. If you're in traffic and you notice that your anxiety level is going up, you can do breathing exercises, you can roll the windows down and get some fresh air. She knew that I love to sing, so she said, turn on a radio station that you love or play a song that you love, sing your heart out. You know, use your ability to do music and sing as a form of therapy. And it started to really work for me. I enroll back in school. I find a major that I actually like. I was happier. I was able to focus again. My energy levels were a lot higher. I graduated with my associate's degree in behavioral science on the dean's list from that same college. Since then, I've been going to counseling. I've been doing the therapy that the Corona Vet Center counselor mentioned. My mom definitely has noticed that I'm a lot more kind to people. Now I'm a lot more patient, and I'm more positive now than I've ever been. Take advantage of every resource that's out there. Go to the vet centers. Go to the VA. Get counseling.
Well, that is great advice. And we thank Elliot very much for sharing his experience about what he went through and how the VA and the vet center in his area was able to help him. Rick, what are your impressions about Elliot's story, and what is your advice for veterans?
What I heard in Elliot's story is find what's available to you within your community and embrace it. When I say find, things that can help you, that are in your community, embrace it, and find what works for you. You know, not everybody, you know, and I'm thinking about like AA and NA stuff. You know, not everybody who might experience difficulty with alcoholism go to meetings all the time. They might have just a private group that they like to go to, and that works for them. And that's fine. If that's what benefits the person who needs the counseling, who needs the therapy, then do that. I think too often people who really are on, who don't do counseling and do treatment on a regular basis, you know, try to make recommendations for people who obviously need it. And really, they don't know what they're talking about. And I think too many people who need the treatment, need the therapy, end up being pushed into places that are not helpful to them. And that's the key, not helpful to them. That might be helpful to somebody else, but the person who needs assistance, whether it's recovery from the war, whether it's recovery from alcoholism or drug addiction, you know, you need to find what's going to work for you so that every day, it's not a chore to go get that therapy. It's not a chore to go get that counseling. You're looking forward to it. You found somebody that you connect with. It might be somebody at the VA. It might be someone outside the VA. but you found somebody that's helping you. And you can't turn to your friend and say, hey, I'm seeing John Doe. You should go see him, because guess what? That might not work for your friend. So that's what I heard from Elliot. And that was a great message for other veterans out there. Find what works for you within your community. Go get it, embrace it, and see what happens.
Yeah, that's great insight, Rick. I appreciate you sharing that. And one thing that struck me was just the importance of that first step, of reaching out to get help. That makes all the difference. So, Rick, I understand we have another veteran we're going to hear from. Can you introduce that person?
Yes, our next veteran's name is David. David had difficulty transitioning from service in Iraq to civilian life. He used alcohol and drugs to try to cope until he ended up in the emergency room. After an ultimatum from his wife, David reached out to VA for treatment. Now he says he's a better father and a better husband because of it. Doug, please roll tape number 2.
Hi, my name's David. Served in the U.S. Army National Guard from 2001 to 2013. Being in downtown Baghdad, you never knew who the enemy was. You never knew, you know, what the intent of was the person that you were walking through the crowd or the marketplace was. Very, very stressful times. Kind of developed a very healthy alcohol addiction. You're expected to get back into civilian life and just kind of be good to go. And the military trains you to be a soldier. They don't train you to be a civilian. And so transition was definitely a difficult task. It was very daunting. I actually started hanging out with the wrong folks and started getting the hallucinogens, mixing that with alcohol and all kinds of stuff, and just not being who I should be as, number one, a father, a husband, a soldier. Ended up winding myself in a hospital in the ER because I was so high. I was gone. Went back home after getting out of the ER, and my wife kind of gave me an ultimatum. She was like, you know, it's either your family or that, what you're doing. You need to pull your head out of your ass. Start doing what you need to do. It's kind of after that I made the determination, really started doing some soul searching. I was like, you know, I'm not going to let myself be defined by my disabilities anymore. Even though I was just a National Guardsman at the time, I was still expected to maintain tact and bearing outside of the uniform as well, and I wasn't doing that. And I got pulled into our medical commander's officer, and he was like, Sergeant Donaldson, where are you trying to go? Back to Iraq with my boys, sir. And he was like, well, that's not going to happen. He knew what he was doing by sending me to the VA. So I went down there and got enrolled and everything else, and started seeing therapists and started seeing different mental health practices. So starting engaging in services, because I knew I got to beat this. You know, I can't live like this. I don't want to live like this. And started helping the guys that had not been through it. And kind of found out, I was like, wow, so I can't fight in a war anymore, but there's a new war. Battling with recovery, battling through the symptoms, battling through the addictions. That's the new war. And that became my new mission. I think my relationships have gotten a lot better. I mean, you know, my relationships with my family now. I mean, my kids are my life. Everything I do is for them. Everything. And I am a better man because of it. You know, and I'm so thankful that I didn't lose them during that time. And I was able to recover from that. Don't keep to yourself. Don't isolate. You have to reach out. You have to reach out. And so many of us military folk are bound by pride. We let pride get in the way of our recovery. The main issue is not being connected. to those resources. They're out there. It's you have to have the willingness to accept the help.
Well, I'd like to thank David Donaldson for sharing his experience as another example, like many of that we see, of veterans who try to deal with PTSD by abusing drugs or alcohol, and eventually they have a reckoning or an intervention of some kind or some other event that helps get them into the care and treatment that they need. What do you think, Rick?
Well, that one, David, hit home. As you know, David, I've shared my own personal struggles and recovery. In fact, August 23rd, I guess that's this Thursday, I'll be celebrating 11 years of sobriety.
Congratulations.
So I really, David's story really hits home for me, because, you know, I can keep it fresh, and I remember when I went in and white knuckling it and the struggles, and then where you are, you know, today, 11 years later. You know, we have a saying in recovery called, addiction is short-term pleasure, long-term pain, and recovery is short-term pain, long-term pleasure.
Wow.
And if there's anyone out there who's struggling right now with some sort of substance abuse, I want you to remember that, because, like I said, addiction is short-term pleasure, long-term pain. Recovery is short-term pain, long-term pleasure. And when you finally, as David, you said in that first story with Elliot, you know, you make that first step. You take the first step. You admit that you've got a problem. That's probably the key to recovery, is making that admission and accepting responsibility and then doing something about it. So, that David's story brings back a lot of memories for me, and good stuff.
Congratulations to you, Rick. Congratulations to you on your success.
Well, I appreciate that, David. And, you know, I look at what you and I have been doing over the last 6 years, and this may sound a little dramatic to some people out there, but I know that, but for the fact that I took care of business 11 years ago and got into recovery, I would not be doing the work that you and I are doing together. You would never have given me the opportunity to form the partnership that we have in Corey and Hurley Law Group and all of the successes that we've had helping veterans. So, you know, it's there's always a reason, and life can be really, really good if you take responsibility and move on. And speaking of moving on, let's hear from Navy veteran Philip. In the aftermath of Hurricane Mitch, Philip witnessed death firsthand, which had a big impact on him. When he transitioned to civilian life, he withdrew from others, tried to cope with his pain using drugs, and eventually became homeless. He finally sought help from VA and has found a new purpose. Doug, please roll tape number 3.
Hi, my name is Philip. I served with the Navy, Seabees, from 95 to 2000. We got deployed out to Honduras, and Hurricane Mitchell had destroyed Central America. The constant death, bodies going in the water and down the river, just death everywhere. I guess when I got out, I came back home, and I guess right away I didn't notice that I had a problem. I started staying up late. I couldn't sleep. I had nightmares. I get agitated real quickly, especially if I seen a news article about something or about a disaster somewhere. It was my mental health, you know. And so I guess I tell people, I told myself, I don't want to dream. So I don't know. I got hooked on meth, you know, and I didn't have to deal with it, you know, and deal with those feelings. Helped me suppress a lot of feelings, I guess, you know. And meth messed my mind even more up. I lost my job. And then a few weeks later, my woman kicked me out of the house. She was tired of putting up with my lies and drug use and everything, you know. So I found myself all of a sudden homeless. I got down on my knees and I prayed, you know, to my Creator, you know, and I said, I'm so sorry. I doing things without, I used to be a prayerful person, and I said, you know what? I'm sorry for doing things without you, and I need help. I need help. Something was put in my mind, go to the VA. Go to the VA. I wasn't sure they helped people like me. I found a bus ticket, and I went to the bus. I went straight to the VA. And lo and behold, they had a homeless clinic there. Then I found out, because I get a little bit of money from the casino revenue, and that was enough for me to be able to get HUD of Ash, Section 8 housing for homeless veterans. And I can get my own place? What? I know that. So I got a voucher, and I was about a month later, 2 months later, I got my first apartment. It felt so good. I felt so grateful, such gratitude, so humble that I got given this second chance. I know I've been working really hard, but changing my mental health, I went to anger management. I finally got diagnosed with PTSD. Started getting help. I was taking all these classes, seeing a psychiatrist at the VA, and I found hope. I had hope, and you need hope to change. PTSD will always be there for me, but now I know how to handle I manage the symptoms now before they get out of hand. So all the tools and treatment from the PTSD, treatment from my mental health, from the VA, has improved my life in so many dynamic ways. I have made amends to the people I've hurt, including myself. I made amends to my mom, my dad, my brother, and sister. I'm also a state certified peer support specialist. I got my state certification so I can help people who just have other habits and hangups, you know. So I want to continue serving our veterans, especially the ones who are suffering, and give them hope, you know. And it wasn't for some veterans talking to me, I wouldn't be here right now. I'm so glad I could be somebody you can count on, you know. You can count on me.
That's a very inspirational story, and we thank Philip for sharing his experience. One thing that I take from that is the importance of peer support from veterans. Many veterans out there may be thinking, hey, they returned from the military service, they returned from war, and they were able to make that adjustment. And I'd say that's wonderful. But keep in mind, many of your fellow veterans have not been so fortunate, and they're carrying around many issues, many problems, and they may be invisible mental wounds, but they need help. And an example of Philip, where he spiraled into drug abuse, homelessness, and if it wasn't for other veterans helping him, who knows where he would have ended up. So a lot of important things we can draw from that. We thank, again, Philip for sharing his experience. Now, in our final...
David, if I may, I just wanted to highlight one thing. One of the things that Philip mentioned there that's very important for anyone out there that's listening who might be in kind of a dire situation, he talked about the tools and managing his situation, managing his PTSD, you know, managing whatever abuse that he had going on with the tools that he learned through the counseling program, through the VA. And that is so important. People always ask all the time, "Well, how do you do it? How do you keep your days going?" And you know, it is the tools that you learn, whatever that might be. Might be, you know, Philip going to meetings. It might be the peer to peer. Whatever it is, that's what keeps him, you know, moving forward. And the other thing was the helping. You know, if veterans that are out there and you're doing okay, and maybe you've been to counseling and you've kind of gotten through your own struggles, if you see other veterans who have the same situation going on, go up and talk to them, get a phone number, try to encourage them to get help, and then a few days later, call them up again and ask, you know, did you go get the help? How are you doing? What's going on? Don't just make that one meeting with them. You just see them and say, well, you need to go get help. Follow up with them. They need that encouragement. So many veterans don't, you know, on the first try, they don't go get the help that they need, maybe not even the second try. But if you follow up with phone calls, a text message, an email, that may encourage the veteran to go get help. So I thank Philip for his insights and his story. David, back to you.
Yes, and thanks, Richard. In our final tape from this first part of our program, the first segment tonight, we're going to hear from an Army veteran named Sarge, who was a squad leader in Vietnam, multiple combat tours, and it was his service that caused him to feel a lot of survivor's guilt long after he left the service. Despite being and having a loving family, Sarge was self-destructive and had bouts of anger. Treatment and sharing his story with others, including through songwriting, helped him cope with PTSD. So, Doug, if you'll please roll a tape 4.
My name is Sarge, and I did 3 tours in Vietnam, 1966, 67, and 68. I did enjoy my service in the Army up until the time they made me combat infantry squad leader. Up until then, we would lose someone, and it would be a terrible event. But once I was a squad leader, it seemed to be my fault. I felt I should have died in Vietnam. Shortly after I got home, my mother took me to the VA hospital, and she said, "This isn't even the guy we sent to Vietnam." I was trying to feed my adrenaline addiction, and I would hang out at biker bars and not take sass from anybody till I got beat up and thrown out. And I met my wife, Leslie, in Perry's Bar. We've been together ever since, and 48 years we've been married. I had this totally animal awareness level of hypervigilance, night terrors. I would not have any memory of what terrorized me, but I would wake up with a start, sit up, and drenched in sweat, trembling. I couldn't hold a job for more than 3 months. As I was experiencing a big problem keeping my mind out of the jungle. It would be a Norman Rockwell scene, Leslie sitting beside me, the children playing on the floor, and it would be so beautiful and perfect, and then boom, I would explode in a terrible rage, and whoosh, they're gone. Well, it was survivor's guilt. I didn't feel like I deserved these extra special moments, and so I would ruin them. One day, Leslie had this pamphlet, and it had every symptom of PTSD all listed in a row. And by the time I got to the bottom of the list, I was pretty sure I had PTSD because every one of them was me. Eventually, I started writing things down, and I was shocked and dismayed that it all came out rhyming. So I hired this guy to come in my little trailer and teach me the 12-bar blues progression. Then I began turning my poetry into blues songs. It's the most beautiful medicine that I ever got for PTSD is having an audience really like what I've said. It's just so healing. I teach in schools all around Arizona. I was able to tell the students things that I hadn't told Leslie, and she learned so much about my PTSD and the cause of it. All I know is it didn't decrease her love for me, and that was my biggest fear. There's a talk that I've given to many, many veterans, and it's basically, okay, what are you going to tell the guys when you see them again, the guys on the wall? Here you are making your life and your family's life miserable every day. They're going to want to not hear that. They're going to want to hear a great story about how much fun you had, what a good time, how wonderful it was, being home, what are you going to tell the guys on the wall?
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Philip went through and three tours, combat tours in Vietnam, and for those who may not realize that the wall that he's talking about is the Vietnam Memorial Wall, and you know what will veterans tell their buddies who died in Vietnam, you know, how they lived their life when they came home, you know. So it's appreciate Philip taking the time to share his experience through the VA's Make the Connection program. What are your thoughts, Richard?
Well, you know, going back to some of the earlier comments we made, you know, Philip found something that he could grasp onto and help him through his troubled life, which was music. And he embraced it, and he took it to the next level, and that became his mantra. And what a great thing, the power of music. You know, we have our client, Matt Williams, up there in Michigan. He did the same thing, and he today has a career in music, going all over playing for veterans, and that's what he uses to help him through and cope with his PTSD. So all great stories, David. Good job on assembling them and letting our listeners hear them tonight. Remember, if anyone's out there, this is a good time. If you're out there and you'd like to call into the show, please feel free to do that. You can call in at 1-888-627-6008 if you'd like to comment on one or more of the interviews that we had on the show, the segments. Please do. If you have your own story, share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 1-888-627-6008. Now, David, back to you. I know we've got some more information to tell our listeners.
Yes, and I'd like to echo what you said, encourage people to call in, our listeners to call in. If you're interested, that VA Make the Connection program, as I said, it's available on YouTube, and the VA really encourages veterans to share that through social media, and that's one reason why we share it here, because it's important to hear from veterans who serve, particularly combat veterans, put their life on the line and share what it's like, particularly when they come back home and they're trying to get back into civilian life and all the challenges that they have. And they go through a lot. It's been through hell in combat, and it's their life is very difficult. So we appreciate and we thank the VA and all the other veteran groups. We've had many guests over the last year and a half from various private veteran groups, as well as from some state veteran groups as well, and the many programs, including many peer supported peer counseling programs, which is very important. Now, what I'd like to do. Okay, we have Joe on line 3. Welcome, Joe. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I want to congratulate Rick Hurley for what he did for me. Since 1947, I was fighting the VA for a claim that I had when I was in the service. And a year and a half ago, I contacted Rick Hurley to represent me, and he did such a beautiful job that the money I received, almost $500,000, due to Richard Hurley fighting the case, fighting for a year and a half. It took him to achieve a year and a half what it took me since 1947. So congratulations to Rick Hurley and all you veterans. Just don't give up. If you have a problem, contact Richard Hurley, and I guarantee that he'll help you. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Joe. Hey, Joe, thanks for being a sponsor on our show, too. We really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate doing it, but for all you did for me is the least I can do. So thank you so much, and have a blessed evening.
You take care of yourself now, Joe.
Thanks for calling, Joe. Thank you very much. We appreciate Joe calling in, and yes, I would like to echo what Joe said. Congratulations, Rick, for the great work you've done for Joe and for so many other veterans. I know you've changed many lives for the better in your work. So thank you again.
You know, Joe's 90 years old, and you know, a lot of veterans talk about that delay, deny, now hope you die. And David, you worked that case with me, and I can't help but believe that along the way, the VA just, you know, because it was about finding medical evidence, was what that case was about. And it was sitting there in its file, and the VA could have found it over all this time, but for whatever reason, they chose either to ignore it or they did not find it. I mean, just maybe it was incompetence. I don't know. Or maybe they just figured Joe was getting so old that eventually he would pass away. Well, he's 90 years old, and at Joe's credit, he has survived, and now he's enjoying some of the compensation. He should have gotten a long, long, long time ago. But
absolutely.
And what Joe said there about veterans, don't give up. If you're a young veteran, sign up now. There's compensation out there for you. If you were injured overseas, then, you know, during the course of your service, you need to get compensated for the medical condition. If you're an older vet, it's never too late. Joe started his claim, you know, really, as far as the VA was concerned, in 03. He was 74 years old when he started his claim, even though, in fact, in 1947 is when the condition occurred. And he just, you know, at 74, a lot of veterans would probably say, I'm not going to do it. Well, that wasn't Joe. And to Joe's credit and to Joyce's wife, they stuck to it. And you know, I think they just, this past summer, they went on a trip to Alaska.
They took a cruise.
You know, they with some of the compensation that they got, they took a nice cruise to Alaska. So that's a good message for other veterans out there. Never give up.
Yeah, that's so true. So true. Again, we'd like to thank Joe and thank you, Richard, for all the great work you've done. Now let's go in our second segment of the show tonight. We want to highlight an issue that we actually talked about last week when we had Lauren Price, founder of a group called Veteran Warriors, and she was talking about a number of issues, including legislation that's been offered in Congress. It hasn't passed yet. It's dealing with the issues of the health effects, health disabilities of many veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan when they are exposed to a tremendous amount of toxic air pollution because of open burn pits. Open burn pits were basically big trash pits where they would, some of these were acres, larger to like 10 acres in size, where they would dump trash of every type and form, and in some cases they'd pour aviation fuel on it and light it, and it burned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and in some cases just putting like a permanent fog of toxic smoke over the vicinity. So Lauren was on our show. We thank her for being on our show last week talking about that legislation. And if you missed the show, you can go back and listen to that archived show on bbsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour. That's our webpage, bbsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour. And look for our August 13th show. Well, I wanted to piggyback on that by highlighting a very important call to action type of documentary film on that issue, on the burn pit issue. It's called Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, How America Poisoned Its Soldiers. It was made and released last year. Film director and producer is Greg Lovett. And the film deals with, as I say, the issue of the open burn pits used in Iraq and Afghanistan, and which are suspected of causing large numbers, tens of thousands of veterans to suffer various serious health problems because of those toxic substances which were incinerated in those huge burn pits. Now, that documentary is available to you in different through different ways. You can find out more about the film. Go to Facebook and type in the Facebook search engine the words burn pit documentary, and then that will bring up the burn pit documentary Facebook page. You can go there and find out how you can purchase a copy of the DVD. And even better, if you're a supporter of veterans, particularly Iraq and Afghanistan veterans who are exposed to this and their families, you can help spread the word. How can you do that? Well, you can actually host a showing of the film in your hometown. Go to the website, tug.com, and that's spelled T-U-G-G.com, tug.com. And that's basically an organization in which, through crowdfunding, you can bring films to your local theater and sell tickets. If you sell enough tickets, or if you purchase the tickets by promoting the film yourself, you can give the tickets away to veterans groups and their families. But you can show it in a regular theater. And if you see it on the full screen, you'll definitely have a greater appreciation of what this issue is all about. So you go to Facebook, type in the Facebook search engine, Burn Pit Documentary, and you'll get to the Facebook page. You can find out how you can purchase the DVD, or you can go to the website if you want to help promote this film around the country. Go to tug.com, and under the Films tab on that website, look for the film called Delay, Deny, Hope You Die. And you'll see that the film is already going back to last fall of 2017. The film was already screened in many theaters across the country, including two here in my area, Florida, Tampa Bay area. There was one shown at the Veterans Theater in North Tampa, and then the Brandon AMC Theater in Brandon, Florida. You can find out more about the film and watch short clips, trailers about the film on the Facebook page. Again, go to Facebook, type in Burn Pit Documentary in the search engine. So it's an important issue. The issue is not going away. Many veterans feel that it's kind of the Agent Orange for the current generation, where they've been poisoned through you know, these means, and they're suffering serious health effects. So, Richard, what are your thoughts?
Well, first, Dave, I want to thank you. You were the one who brought the film to the Brandon area and the Tampa area, and you know, we had a good turnout. You know, one of the things that, you know, you've done for me since since we started this firm is the awareness that you've given me about the whole veteran issue, the military issues. And, you know, the film highlights, you know, like David was talking about, the burn pits. But for anyone out there who's never seen the burn pits, who doesn't know anything about the burn pits, this film is just, it's a must-see. Because, you know, we can say burn pit. What's a burn pit? Well, when you see it on the film, and you see the effects of the burn pits on our soldiers who are now veterans, the impact that it's going to have on you is going to be extraordinary. And, you know, we had prior guests on this show, and one of the questions I would ask the guests, and I asked Lauren this, you know, describe a burn pit. We're not talking a fire pit in your backyard, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about acres. Acres and acres, even miles of burning of toxic substances, gasoline, that affects not only the military people but civilians. So, you know, you would do a great service to your community if you do what David just suggested and host the film. And if you can't do that, then at least get the film and educate yourself. And then you'll see just how awful and how significant this issue is for our young veterans who served in Iraq, Afghanistan. And it is the Agent Orange for this generation. And it's important that we highlight this so that Congress gets off their sweet butt and starts doing something about it to compensate our veterans who have life-threatening issues regarding burn pits.
So, yeah, if I could add something to that, Richard, some of our listeners may be thinking, hey, listen, you know, war is hell. We know people suffer and die in war. Isn't this just another risk of war? Well, let me put this in some context for you. All right, these burn pits we're talking about were burn pits that continue in existence long after, let's say, in Iraq and Afghanistan, both of those countries had been, that our military had basically controlled the country, stabilized it, and our military had in some instances, built military bases that were large enough to hold and house 20,000, 40,000 troops. These were big, permanent installations that had, you know, permanent buildings. They had, as far as airfields, they had accommodations as you would see in stateside. They would even have, recreational, they had swimming pools, they'd have Burger Kings and other things that really made it a little piece of America. And the point being, so they were able to create all these things, and this is well into, you know, the wars after being there for years, and yet they were still using these incredibly low-tech open burn pits when they had safer alternatives, that when they had higher temperature incinerators, which would have disposed of all this toxic garbage in a somewhat safer, not totally safe, but somewhat safer manner. And the point is the military made the decision whether to save money or just lack of attention to this issue, because there was a lot else going on over the years in both countries. So it wasn't of the highest importance, but the point being that these risks were certainly things that could be mitigated, certainly well into, into the war, and yet they weren't, and a lot of people are needlessly suffering as a result. So another source of finding out more about the film, in addition to the Facebook page, you can also go to the website, which is burnpitsdocumentary.com. That's burnpitsdocumentary.com. And you can watch trailers, you can read more about the film, you can learn more about some of the experts that testified that were interviewed for the film. So just wanted to highlight that issue because it's an important one that's not going to be going away, and we intend to continue in the future to cover the status of that legislation as it works its way through Congress. So now as we draw to a close, we've got about 5 minutes left in the show. Just want to highlight a couple bits of news from the VA, and then we'll talk about the VA's Coaching into Care program. Some news from Washington and a recent press release from the VA. It was announced that President Trump had selected former VA White House senior advisor Thomas Leinenkugel to lead a key commission focused on the department's mental health care programs. They started a commission called the Creating Options for Veterans Expedited Recovery, and the acronym is COVER. It's Creating Options for Veterans Expedited Recovery Commission will examine the VA's evidence-based therapy model for treating mental health conditions. As listeners know from some of our prior shows and people that have been on our shows, that the VA is continually looking at different treatment methods. It's certainly not a situation where one size fits all, and the VA is trying to stay on the cutting edge of that. It was announced in the press release that this commission will be studying and examining the VA's therapy models, and Thomas, also known as Jake Leinenkugel, will be leading that, working to implement President Trump's policies throughout the VA over the next on that issue. The acting VA secretary at the time, Peter O'Rourke, said, and I quote, "As leader of this new commission, Jake will continue to advocate for better care and services for his fellow veterans." Leinenkugel is a former captain of the Marine Corps. He joined the VA in January of 2017 after retiring in 2014 from his family business, where he'd been president for 26 years. He was instrumental in the creation of the department's Choose VA branding campaign and the implementation of the National Veterans and Military Family Month in November. So we'll see. It's an important issue. It's important not only for the benefit of veterans, four of whom we heard from earlier tonight about what they experienced, but also as part of the VA's efforts to reduce the number of veteran suicides. All right, well, enough of the VA news for tonight. Rick, if you'll tell us and our listeners about the VA's program called Coaching into Care.
Absolutely. The Coaching into Care program, this program helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. We heard about some of those tough adjustments tonight with some of our segments. Coaching into Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call, toll-free at 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, the VA's Coaching into Care number is 1-888-823-7458. In addition, I would like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has the Veterans Crisis Line to help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. David, take us out.
Thanks, Richard. I'd like to thank everyone for listening tonight. It's been another fast hour here. We'd like to say special thanks to our producer, BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. We hope that everyone will tune in the next week, same time, same station. We try to keep you up to date with the latest VA news, other developments of interest to veterans and their families. So stay tuned next week for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, we hope you have a great week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.